Los Angeles, huh, or what?
Yeah, sorry, guys. We're just planning the parade for the 2020 World Series now. We're just trying to figure out, what do you guys think? Should it start at City Hall, or should it end at City Hall, or start at Staples Center here in downtown Los Angeles? Because we're winning the World Series.
Wow. So just that's what Mookie Betts brings to the... It's automatically done. People are buying season tickets, and they're counting the parade route. Do you think they're going to sign him to long-term, or are they just going to keep him for the year? Is it a rental for 1 year?
Well, we'll see if they keep him long-term, because they're going to have the money freed up, and they got some money coming off the books both last offseason and next year as well. But this was a great job by Andrew Freeman, who has been taking a lot of grief the last couple of off-seasons for not making any major moves, and that's been kind of his M.O., even in Tampa. You know, go get guys at the end of their careers, you know, with the limited financial means in Tampa. He did that well. But in L.A., he kind of sort of did the same thing he was doing in Tampa, and it upset a lot of Dodger fans. Now he finally pulls the trigger on this big deal for David Price and for Mookie Betts, and he gets the Boston Red Sox to pay 50 cents on the dollar for the rest of the 3 years left on his deal. I mean, he should be arrested for robbery for what he did. And at the same time, kind of rearranging the deck of this roster and getting rid of Kenta Maeda. That was part of the deal for David Price, because you needed another prospect from Minnesota. But also getting rid of Jock Peterson, that frees up a spot in the outfield. You get another second baseman, a young guy in return for the Angels. Ross Stripling goes to the Angels as well in this alleged deal with the Angels that hasn't officially been announced yet, but it's going to happen. He rearranged the deck, so to speak, and it's a good thing, because this Dodger team, I think, got complacent the last couple of years just winning the division.
Tim, I mean, obviously it picked up the last week or so, but were people thinking out there this move was going to be realistic, or was Mookie not on the radar until just the last week or two?
No, it had been talked about, as you mentioned, the last couple of weeks, but really last Thursday, early Friday, we kind of got wind that the new GM there in Boston and Andrew Freeman, his former boss, had been talking, and there was a little bit of a lull, and Freeman was just sort of waiting to find out what the answer was from the Boston Red Sox front office. And from what we understood, the Padres, they're waiting for a last-ditch effort from them to see how it would turn out. But from what we understand, the icing on the cake here was David Price and taking that $96 million off the hands of the Boston Red Sox. And again, getting the Red Sox to pay just 50 cents on the dollar, the Dodgers pick up the rest of it. That was sort of the deal breaker, because they in Boston, as you know, they're kind of going in a new direction now. And that gets rid of the two superstars, and they can kind of move on and start the process over again there. But here in L.A., you get an added arm, proven postseason pitcher in David Price, and you get an MVP in Mookie Betts to go along with Cody Bellinger, Justin Turner, Corey Seager, Gavin Lux. I mean, are you kidding me? Max Muncy? This is the best lineup in baseball.
Wow. Did you really want David Price, though? Because he's our headache. He talks bad about the media. Did you really want him, or was it just like, hey, we want Mookie, we'll take whatever else you got to throw to us?
Well, it kind of comes along with getting Mookie, but at the same time, I mean, you guys know he pitched well in the October.
One October?
It won October, but, you know, since that cyst is removed during the season, apparently he's pitched well and thrown well in the offseason and feels good and is saying all the right things. Maybe a fresh start is what he needs. You know, he's bounced around a couple of years now. He's not getting any younger. His final 3 years of his deal, I don't see him getting a big deal after this, certainly at the age of 37 going on 38 when it's all over. This could be the final landing spot for him. And it's a breath of fresh air getting away from the East Coast and going to a new league. I know interleague play happens now, but, you know, pitching in the National League West is where he's been in the AL East for most of his career. It's a change for him, and bringing Mookie with him and coming to he's coming to a clubhouse, though, where he doesn't have to be the star. He doesn't have to be the guy who's the vocal leader, win or lose. 5 days a week, he's talking to the media. No, they've got Justin Turner to do that. They got Corey Seager to do that. They got Clayton Kershaw to talk to me. Kenley Jansen will talk to the media. So he's just another guy right now in that Dodger clubhouse. He's not going to be the guy.
Tim Cates, AM 570 in Los Angeles, part of the Dodgers radio network. He's here with us on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 101.3thegame.com. It has, no secret, obviously, been a really tough two-week stretch for Los Angeles with the death of Kobe Bryant and eight others in that helicopter crash. Does this move give some positive momentum to the city finally? Was this a much-needed move at a much-needed time?
Absolutely. And you hate to say it's something to help get over Kobe Bryant, because I don't think fans are going to ever get over Kobe and what he meant to this city. But it's a breath of fresh air here for the Dodgers, because and Dodger fans and sports fans, because quite frankly, guys, they can now talk about something else and they can start kind of get over Kobe and the grieving process and focus on Dodger baseball, which is starting. And at the same time, you got the Lakers who are still playing well. So it's just you're changing the narrative here in L.A. for what's been, you know, almost 2 weeks now, all Kobe and what he's meant to this city. And quite frankly, I think it started on Sunday, guys, here in Los Angeles, almost a week to the day that Kobe died in the helicopter crash. You had the memorial taken away from Staples Center. And for a week, they let people come down, put up posters, put up memorabilia, put up whatever they wanted, flowers, and they kind of made it a gathering point for all of Los Angeles to come and mourn Kobe Bryant, sign these cards they had put up at LA Live right next to Staples Center. Well, they took those down on Sunday, and they're going to, you know, give all this stuff to the Kobe's family and, you know, 3,000 basketballs allegedly that were left there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was left, but that whole process of moving on started on Sunday for the city of Los Angeles and Southern California, and now to have this trade happen, it kind of rekindles the energy a little bit as far as the energy is for sports fans here in L.A. and gets people excited for baseball, which they weren't too excited about after what happened last October and, quite frankly, what the Dodgers hadn't been doing this offseason.
Tim, what do the Red Sox get? What are we getting with these guys, these minor leaguers? Or actually, Verdugo's been in the major leagues every part of the last 3 years, but what are we getting with these guys?
Well, the kid you're getting from Minnesota was their number one pitching prospect. He pitched in, I think, 10 games last year. He throws like 101 miles an hour.
Yeah,
so you're
going
to get an instant starter in that rotation. A young guy, 22 years old, out of Venezuela, highly thought of. I mean, that's the guy that they're going to get in this deal that could be the biggest, most impact player, I think, because Alex Verdugo, guys, he missed the last month and a half of the season in 2019. He played in 106 games. He was red hot the first half of the season. And then he kind of had this oblique injury, which baseball players all of a sudden are getting now. And he got sidelined. And then the back flared up in late August, and he didn't come back. And we kept being told, oh, he's going to come back in September. Don't worry. Oh, he'll be back for October for the playoffs. He'll be back in the outfield. Don't worry about it. Verdugo will be good to go. Well, Alex Verdugo wasn't good to go. In fact, they had Fan Fest at Dodger Stadium about 2 weeks ago, and he was there. And he told the media, and he told the fans that were all there, he hasn't done any baseball activities yet. He's still trying to get over this back injury.
Yeah.
He's still trying to rehab it and get it back. And he's able to walk around. He's not walking around a cane or doesn't look like an 80-year-old, you know, with his back bent over. He's active. He's doing stuff. He's just not doing baseball activities yet. So here we are, spring training, 8-9 days away from all these teams reporting. You know, the season starts at the end of March. Will he be ready? I don't know. And quite frankly, I think that's why this deal, you know, sitting here at, 12:30 Pacific, a little after 3:30 Eastern, the deal still hasn't been announced yet. I think the Red Sox are just going over the physical to make sure he's good to go because he is one of the two big pieces they're getting back. They got to make sure he's good to go because, quite frankly, he told people at Dodger Media Day and Dodger Fan Fest that he wasn't.
Huh. Wow.
Tim, how much pressure's on Mookie right now? I mean, I'd say not a lot because they've got that fearsome lineup, but obviously he can't hit 240 with no power this year.
No. There's not a lot of pressure on him. I mean, he's going to just, if he just does what he does and puts up average numbers for Mookie, that'll be good enough. I mean, he's not coming into a team that he needs to be the guy to carry him to 100 wins because they already won 106 games a year ago. This was a team that led the National League in runs scored. This is a team that led the National League in home runs. And you take away, you know, Alex Verdugo, yeah, he was there for 106 games, so it's not like he was a main part of that National League leading offense. Kenta Maeda, Ross Stripling, Jock Peterson, the other guys who are leaving in trades, you know, Jock had 36 home runs, so yeah, he had a little bit of that power and added to that number, but, you know, he's just being an addition to a team that's already real good. So whatever he adds at this point is really like icing on the cake as far as Dodger fans are concerned. But the worst thing he could do, guys, is come in, as you mentioned, you know, hit 230, have no power, you know, strike out a lot, do things that Mookie hasn't done the last 4 years. Get hurt would obviously suck and not be a good thing. But if he could just do what Mookie's been doing, that'll be great for Dodger fans.
Tim, I'll get you out of here on this. You guys are obviously frustrated out there with the play of A.J. Pollock, who hasn't been able to stay healthy, but he has about $50 million left on his deal. So rather than you guys keep Pollock and then the Red Sox pay Price half the money, why didn't the Red Sox just get Pollock from the Dodgers and try to make him useful and you guys clear another spot in the outfield that way? That's what surprised me.
It's a great question, but the problem is you're just taking on more money, and you're taking on a guy who wasn't really productive in October and, quite frankly, didn't do anything in October. I think he was 0 for October for the Dodgers. And Alex Verdugo, you know, cheaper, has more upside. You're right. You're taking the David Price half the salary. I think the Dodgers didn't want to take all the $96 million. So maybe it was just rearranging money from one player to another, absorbing whatever you needed to do. I'm sure they talked about it. Andrew Friedman's smarter than all of us, and I know for a fact he's smarter than Arnie because we're all smarter than Arnie. For that being said, this is an Andrew Friedman move that's pretty good. I mean, to get Mookie Betts, to get David Price, and to have to pay half of David Price's salary and give up only Alex Verdugo and Kenta Maeda. I mean, Maeda, you're shipping off to Minnesota so they can give up their top pitching prospect. And when it's all said and done, when this thing settles here later on this afternoon, hopefully, the Dodgers still have Dustin May. The Dodgers still have Gavin Lux. The Dodgers still have Corey Seager. They still have the young prospects, Jeremiah Gray, down in the minor leagues. They didn't give up Jeter Downs, their top infield prospect, behind Gavin Lux. Those guys are all still there. They didn't touch their prospects. They touched the Minnesota Twins' top pitching prospect. It only cost them Alex Verdugo and Kenta Maeda, so we'll take it.
No maple syrup for you next year, my friend. That's for sure when it comes Christmas time. It's good to speak to you. I'm glad we had a chance to catch up. Maybe we'll come out this summer, watch some Dodger baseball. What do you guys think, huh?
Sure, whatever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Tim, always a pleasure, buddy. We'll catch up with you later on, okay?
All right, guys, I have to go outside. It's cold here. It's 68 degrees and sunny. Sorry about
that. I hate you.